The A.C. Green Show.
Welcome to another episode of the A.C. Green Show podcast. If you like thought-provoking, critical thinking, conversation, you're going to love this one. As we all deal with COVID-19 and the pandemic, we are all affected one way or another. Those who have fallen ill, and then those who have perished because of the virus, we're considering them all the more. Recently, I talked to Tiffany Henderson on the radio show, and she laid it out there. She overcame COVID-19, and I want you to be a part of that conversation. So if you didn't hear it on the radio, here it is right now. Tiffany Henderson is on my live line. Hey, Tiffany, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very good. So, Tiffany, you have overcome COVID-19.
Yes, sir. He tried to take me out, but God wouldn't let it.
You better know it. So that thing formed, but it didn't prosper.
Exactly.
Lay out for everybody how you think you got it and what you went through when you had it and how you overcame it.
Okay. How do I think I had it? To be completely honest with you, I did what most people do in terms of taking the necessary precautions and making sure that you don't catch it, with making sure that my errands were limited. And then once I remembered that we had delivery service for groceries, that cut anything as far as me having to leave my home for groceries and things of that nature. Wearing gloves, wearing the proper mask and things of that nature. Even when groceries came to the house before they entered inside the house, I disinfect. I cleaned all of my dishes before I properly put them in the kitchen, and I left the grocery bags in the garage. So to be completely honest with you, I'm not 100% sure in terms of how I came in contact with the virus. I can say different symptoms came about, and I have asthma. First, I have asthma, underlying issue, and I also have allergies. And around this time of the year, you know, the regular symptoms that we come across, you don't think much of it. And so I noticed that I was having these symptoms. I did the normal routine. I have an inhaler. I have a nebulizer. I knew something was wrong because none of the things in which I usually do to control my breathing helped. I found myself using my inhaler at least 2 to 3 times a day, my nebulizer, using it throughout the day. And so that's when I knew something was wrong. Some of the symptoms included the burning sensation from my back to my head. My face was numb, my shoulders, my chest, the pain would travel from left to right of my shoulders, back, everything. Also, it got to a point to where I could not lay flat on my back. I couldn't lay on my stomach. It felt like I was having a heart attack, literally. And so with me having asthma, the pressure began to build up in my chest. It made it very difficult for me to breathe. I couldn't walk and breathe. I couldn't talk and breathe. It got to a point where I had to literally sit at the kitchen table. I had to sit in the chair and put my head on the table. That was the only way that I could sleep. I knew something was wrong. I went to the emergency room a few times prior to them leaving, and I said, no, something is wrong. Please test me, regardless of what shows up in the x-ray, regardless of what you don't hear. I know something is wrong with my body, and you want me to check it out. And I'm not leaving until you tell me what's going on. Test results came back positive for COVID-19. They're so quick to tell you, oh, well, we're going to try this and we're going to try that. I said, no. Before we start, I said, let me tell you something. I'm not staying here. So if you don't believe that I can make it, if you have doubt, if you don't believe in God, I need a new set of doctors. I need people that are
I
need people that are going to come in here that are going to have the same belief. I believe you can line up a guy. I'm not staying in here. I'm not. So get my discharge papers, get them prepared. I'm not staying here.
Tiffany, you never got on a respirator.
No, well, actually, what they tried to do was
a ventilator, what they call it.
Yes. So they did try to put me on that, and I tried to explain to them, but I was so short of breath, I couldn't really talk. I lost 7 to 8 family members from the virus in the month of March.
Ooh.
So I did. I can't see him and say that I didn't have doubt. I can't see him and say that fear didn't try to settle in, because I'm thinking, I'm a 36-year-old woman. I have asthma. All these people, and you hear so many stories that so many people aren't making it, what's going to happen to me? And so everybody who passed away with underlying health issues, as they call it, I have asthma. And so what does that look like for me? What, in terms of the treatment process, what does that look like for me? How am I going to get through this? But I will tell you one thing. I had to remind them, and even if I couldn't speak, I wrote it out on paper. I had to remind me, stop serving me food that causes inflammation, like cheese and dairy products and things of that nature. That is the very same thing. That is the very thing that we're trying to get out of my body. We're trying to get right, we're trying to get that out. And as bad as I felt, I was gasping for air. I couldn't talk. I was determined. I made them bring me hot cups of water all day, every day, while I was in that hospital. I had a bag of oranges in my backpack. I was eating oranges every single day. I made myself eat the oranges. I prayed every day. I was on the phone lines every day, the morning prayer call every day. I drank nothing but hot water. They became extremely agitated because I said, no, you're not going to give me any drugs. It's bad enough. I'm taking morphine because the pain was so unbearable. And I had to take morphine because I literally couldn't breathe. It was either you have to choose between breathing or the pain. So in order for me to relax and my body to receive the oxygen and things, I needed to be placed on morphine because that burning sensation would travel through my body so kept to the point to where I was completely, my body locked up. I had no control, and it hurt just that bad. But I prayed every day. I read the word every day. I was determined to get out of there. I told you to bring me hot water. You're not going to give me any antidotal treatments. I'm not a guinea pig. You are not going to test anything on me. It is a known fact that there is nothing that can, it is a known fact that there is nothing that can get away or do away with the virus. There's nothing that can treat the virus. You all don't have what we can cure for this virus, because if that was the case, other people that passed away wouldn't have passed away. Yes, and the crazy thing about it is COVID-19, when you test positive for COVID-19, you are susceptible to blood clots. They did not give me blood clots. They didn't give me blood clots, a morphine or the medicine to prevent the clots, nor did they have like the massages that you put on your legs when people, you know, are in bed from time to time for a long period of time. And the only reason why I knew to ask is because my father has a blood clotting disorder. And so some of those same symptoms I recall my dad having, I felt in my leg. And so I did some research on my own. I was, you know, researching things. I was looking things up. I'm steady asking them, hey, my chest is hurting. If you're telling me that you don't see anything, let's be proactive. I don't want something to happen. Oh, there was a clot and we could have prevented the outcome. You put me on blood thinner. No, I don't want to, but I'm trying. I'm saving my life. Put me on blood thinner. And a lot of people who test positive for COVID-19, a lot of people didn't know that. A lot of patients didn't know that. I overheard some of the patients on my floor and different things talking because they didn't know that. I was the only person on my side of the wing that requested for myself to have, for them to place me on, put me on blood thinner. A lot of people may have died because of blood clots, but because people didn't know what to do. And it's so important to advocate for yourself because you're in there by yourself. You can't have visitors. You're basically stuck in there. And so and for the duration of them, you know, treating you, I can say that I turned down every antidotal drug there was. I was tested an additional 3 times while I was in the hospital. They kept saying my COVID markers were down, but we want to test you for other strands because there's 15 different other strands of this virus. They don't tell the media that. And so different things that they're constantly trying to get me to do, I turn down. If you're not willing to take it yourself, you tell me what the side effects are. You don't know what the side effects are as it relates to my asthma, the medicine that I do take in terms of my albuterol, things of that nature. You are not using me as a guinea pig. It's true. The infectious disease doctor, made several visits to my room. They tried to persuade me. I can't tell you how many times they tried to persuade me to get me to take different antidotal treatments, is what they call it, different drugs. I said no every single time. The only thing that I was, okay, cool, I can go ahead and do this. We'll do the vitamins. Give me vitamin C. Give me B3. Give me zinc and give me thiamine. So they gave that to me twice a day to boost my immune system, but I refused, besides the morphine for the pain, because I needed it in that, I needed it in certain moments. Besides that, I refused every drug, every antidotal drug that they offered. No. Man. I refused everything. I refused it. No. If it wasn't for, and I go to church and I'm very spiritual and I love God, but sometimes reality happens and different things set in. When I tell you the term sinner, I can't express and I can't put into words how much they mean to me, how much they helped me out. They were there for me 24/7 because there's different things. And you have to think about, you know, I can't go to work. The cities are shut down. We can't go to work. How am I going to eat? How am I going to survive? How am I going to? And I have an 8-year-old son. So all of these things are playing into my mind. I'm thinking, how am I going to take care of my son? How am I going to take care of my grandparents? How am I going to provide for my son? How, you know, bills still have to get paid, but I'm laid up in the hospital. And so when I wasn't on that prayer call, when I wasn't speaking with my church members, if they wasn't available, I had the turn center. The turn center was available, and there's always someone there to speak with you about anxiety, because it's real. In the Black community, it is real. We're struggling in the Black community for different things, Lysol, bleach, things that we normally have access to, we don't have. And so everybody is there nervous. they're scared, all of the above. We don't have those things. We don't have the necessary items to make sure that we're clean and we're disinfecting things. And so we're nervous, lack of money, jobs are being closed down. How do we feed our families? We have kids, and not to mention kids. Now you're taking them out of their environment of education. You're taking them out of an educational background, and you're placing them at home. Kids now have to worry about food. Will they eat three times a day? If they have computers, if they have access to internet, things of this nature. And so not only I'm a school teacher, I have a son. By the grace of God, I have those resources, but everybody, they're not fortunate. But at the same time, I'm laid up in the hospital. I'm fighting for my life, and I'm still thinking about my son. These are things that people in our black and brown communities, these are things that we struggle through on a consistent, we think about these things on a consistent basis. And that's why the Turn Center was a valuable tool, and it helped me to get through this crazy process. I cannot stress enough how much Pastor Chris Harris and every Bright Star church member, they have my back day in and day out. They text me, they called me, everything, all of the above.
I love
it. The Turn Center was
I love it.
If I could just share the information.
You sure can.
Everybody may not have access to the internet and things of that nature. The Chicago-based toll-free number, 833-TURN, T-U-R-N, 123. Again, that's 833-TURN-123. They are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you have different issues, even if it's not related to COVID-19, even if it's grief, terminal illness, abuse, PTSD, anything that you could possibly think of, mental health is so important for the black and brown community.
Please,
this is a Chicago-based toll-free number. Please call them. I'm about to say brightstarcommunityoutreach.com. Again, that's brightstarcommunityoutreach.com. There's so many things that we have to pay attention to. It's not just the spiritual aspect, it's the whole being. And that's the only way that we're going to come together as a community to beat this together. We have to address every issue, every angle, so we can come out winning on top.
That was my conversation with Tiffany Henderson. She survived COVID-19. Yeah, quite a story, huh? Yeah, so glad she survived. And praying for you all out there, you are survivors. All right. Hey, listen, don't forget to hang out at my social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and the website. I have some interesting conversations coming up with some very interesting people. So check the podcast tomorrow and the next day because they coming up. All right. Until next time, be well, everybody.